The afternoon melted into the evening, and the shadows in corners and under stools and tables crept out and ran together. Granny rocked gently in her chair as the darkness wrapped itself around her. She had a look of deep concentration. The logs in the fireplace collapsed into the embers, which winked out one by one. The night thickened. The old clock ticked on the mantelpiece, and for some length of time there was no other sound. There came a faint rustling. The paper bag on the table moved, and then began to crinkle like a deflating balloon. Slowly, the still air filled with a heavy smell of decay. After a while, the first maggot crawled out. Nanny Ogg was back home and just pouring a pint of beer when there was a knock. She put down the jug with a sigh and went and opened the door. "Oh, hello, ladies. What are you doing in these parts, and on such a chilly evening, too?" Nanny backed into the room ahead of three more witches. They wore the black cloaks and pointy hats traditionally associated with their craft, although this served to make each one look different. There is nothing like a uniform for allowing one to express one's individuality. A tweak here and a tuck there are little details that scream all the louder in the apparent, well, uniformity. Gamma Beavis's hat, for example, had a very flat brim and a point you could clean your ear with. Nanny liked Gamma Beavis. She might be a bit too educated, so that sometimes it overflowed out of her mouth, but she did her own shoe repairs and took snuff, and in Nanny Ogg's small world view, things like this meant that someone was all right. Old Mother Dismas's clothes had that disarray of someone who, because of a detached retina in her second sight, was living in a variety of times all at once. Mental confusion is bad enough in normal people, but much worse when the mind has an occult twist. You just had to hope it was only her underwear she was wearing on the outside. It was getting worse, Nanny knew. Sometimes her knock would be heard on the door a few hours before she arrived. Her footprints would turn up several days later. Nanny's heart sank at the sight of the third witch, and it wasn't because Lettuce Earwig was a bad woman. Quite the reverse, in fact. She was considered to be decent, well-meaning, and kind, at least to less aggressive animals and the cleaner sort of children. And she would always do you a good turn. The trouble was, though, that she would do you a good turn for your own good, even if a good turn wasn't what was good for you. You ended up mentally turned the other way, and that wasn't good. And she was married. Nanny had nothing against witches being married. It wasn't as if there were rules. She herself had had many husbands, and had even been married to three of them. But Mr. Earwig was a retired wizard with a suspiciously large amount of gold, and Nanny suspected that Lettuce did witchcraft as something to keep herself occupied, in much the same way that other women of a certain class might embroider kneelers for the church or visit the poor. And she had money. Nanny did not have money, and therefore was predisposed to dislike those who did. Lettuce had a black velvet cloak so fine that it looked as if a hole had been cut out of the world. Nanny did not. Nanny did not want a fine velvet cloak, and did not aspire to such things, so she didn't see why other people should have them.
"Evening, Geetha! How are you keeping yourself?"
said Gamma Beavis. Nanny took her pipe out of her mouth.
"Fit as a fiddle. Come on in."
"Ain't this rain dreadful?" said Mother Dismas.
Nanny looked at the sky. It was frosty purple, but it was probably raining wherever Mother's mind was at.
"Come along in and dry off, then," she said kindly.
"May fortunate stars shine on this our meeting," said Lettuce.
Nanny nodded understandingly. Lettuce always sounded as though she'd learned her witchcraft out of a not very imaginative book.
"Yeah, right," she said.
There was some polite conversation while Nanny prepared tea and scones. Then Gamma Beavis, in a tone that clearly indicated that the official part of the visit was beginning, said,
"We're here as a trials committee, Nanny."
"Oh,
yes. I expect you'll be entering."
"Oh, yes. I'll do my little turn."
Nanny glanced at Lettuce. There was a smile on that face that she wasn't entirely happy with.
There's a lot of interest this year, Gamma went on. More girls are taking it up lately.
To get boys, one feels, said Lettice, and sniffed. Nanny didn't comment. Using witchcraft to get boys seemed a damn good use for it, as far as she was concerned. It was, in a way, one of the fundamental uses.
That's nice, she said. Always looks good, a big turnout.
But?
I beg your pardon, said Lettice.
I said but, said Nanny.
Because someone's going to say but, right? This little chat has got a big but coming up, I can tell.
She knew this was flying in the face of protocol. There should be at least 7 more minutes of small talk before anyone got around to the point. But Lettice's presence was getting on her nerves.
It's about Esme Weatherwax, said Gamma Beavis.
Yes, said Nanny, without surprise.
I suppose she's entering. Never known her stay away.
Lettice sighed.
I suppose you couldn't persuade her to not to enter this year, she said.
Nanny looked shocked.
With an axe, you mean? She said.
In unison, the three witches sat back.
You see,
Gamma began, a bit shamefaced.
Frankly, Mrs. Ogg, said Lettice, it is very hard to get other people to enter when they know that Miss Weatherwax is entering. She always wins.
Yes, said Nanny. It's a competition.
But she always wins.
So?
In other types of competition, said Lettice, one is normally only allowed to win for 3 years in a row, and then one takes a back seat for a while.
Yeah, but this is witching, said Nanny. The rules is different.
How so?
There ain't none. Lettice twitched her skirt.
Perhaps it is time there were, she said.
Ah, said Nanny.
Are you just going to go up and tell Esme that? You up for this, Gamma?
Gamma Beavis didn't meet her gaze. Old Mother Dismas was gazing at last week.
I understand Miss Weatherwax is a very proud woman, said Lettice.
Nanny Ogg puffed at her pipe again.
You might as well say the sea is full of water, she said.
The other witches were silent for a moment.
I dare say that was a valuable comment, said Lettice, but I didn't understand it.
If there ain't no water in the sea, it ain't the sea, said Nanny Ogg. It's just a damn great hole in the ground.
Think about Esme is.
Nanny took another noisy pull at the pipe.
She's all pride, see? She ain't just a proud person.
Then perhaps she should learn to be a bit more humble.
What's she got to be humble about? Said Nanny sharply.
But Lettice, like a lot of people with marshmallow on the outside, had a hard core that was not easily compressed.
The woman clearly has a natural talent, and really she should be grateful for...
Nanny Ogg stopped listening at this point. The woman, she thought. So that was how it was going. It was the same in just about every trade. Sooner or later, someone decided it needed organizing. And the one thing you could be sure of was that the organizers weren't going to be the people who, by general acknowledgement, were at the top of their craft. They were working too hard. To be fair, it generally wasn't done by the worst, neither. They were working hard too. They had to. No. It was done by the ones who had just enough time and inclination to scurry and bustle. And, to be fair again, the world needed people who scurried and bustled. You just didn't have to like them very much. The lull told her that Lettice had finished.
Really? Now me, said Nanny, I'm the one who's naturally talented. Us Ogs have got witchcraft in our blood. I never really had to sweat at it. Esme now, she's got a bit, true enough, but it ain't a lot. She just makes it work harder than hell. And you're going to tell her she's not to?
We were rather hoping you would, said Lettice. Nanny opened her mouth to deliver one or two swear words and then stopped.
Tell you what, she said. You can tell her tomorrow, and I'll come with you to hold her back.